Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in central Watford. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
Thanks, David. So I know it looks odd that I've come up here with a couple of bags. And it's actually quite fitting that the design of today's PowerPoint has this guy with a bag. It just all worked out. Okay, so this is all going to come into place. But what I'd like to do first is read our psalm, which is Psalm 32. So let's begin there. You'll see it on the screen, so you can just look along with me. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, and I was groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like the horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. The first thing I want to say before we dig into my bags here that I brought with me is that the devil, our enemy, is a very sophisticated enemy. And what I mean by that is there's two things that the enemy knows he needs to do. One is he doesn't need to convince us that God is a liar or that God is not good. I don't think that would go over very easily for us. But what he can do is he can try to convince us that God is a mean father, that God is a brutal judge. And even though it is true, and we can see it throughout Scripture, that God is a just judge, in which case, whenever we are wicked, it can be brutal. The truth is we have a good Father. Yes. And the enemy wants to poke holes in that, give us this idea that maybe our father is like a father we had on earth that was hard on us, or a leader in the church that we encountered that was judgmental and harsh with us. And the enemy is sophisticated. He knows if he can get us there, then he can get us to avoid certain encounters with God that we need the very most. And Psalm 32 addresses this, and we're going to get into that. But first, we're going to look into my bags. Everybody carries stuff with them. Like, women have handbags, but us men, we also have bags that we carry to work and that sort of thing. And I'm not going to dig through anybody else's bag, even though I kind of would like somebody to show me what the most odd and obscure thing is they carry with them. But, you know, some of us, if we let people into our bags and our backpacks or rucksacks, that they may find that we carry some very odd things. In fact, it may just be me. I just know that that's the way it is for me. The other day, even, I was with my managing director having a meeting, and I pulled something out of my bag, and she goes, "What is that?" Now I'm going to explain the weirdness of... Okay, so I'm going to show you some of the most odd things that I keep in my bag, and then a little confession. Okay, first of all... Okay, yes, this is deodorant, which does... That makes sense. You know, I mean, who... You can understand why I carry this with me. Especially, it was very hot this summer, so that came in very useful. But do you want to know why I actually purchased this? It was because I saw it in the store, and it was very tall and skinny, and it was the exact dimensions I needed to fill this gap I have in my bag, right here. That's literally the reason why I purchased it. And I was like, that's also useful, so I'll do that. I have this fan here that you can plug into your iPhone, and it's like a fan. It's pretty fantastic. Right? Anyways, okay. There's some weird stuff, but I'm not going to go all the way in, okay? We'll just keep some things secret for today. Okay. This is an e-mobile pen. I'm an e-mobile customer. Here's the problem with this pen. I stole it. And, you know, it was just a few weeks ago that I was using this, I lost it, and I was like, oh, it's my favorite pen, man. I was like, my favorite pen. And then it's when I found it again that I realized, I stole this pen. I was at the E-Mobile getting my mobile carrier, and I was signing the contract, right? And I was like, what a nice pen. So I took it in my pocket. And so I've been carrying it around, and honestly, after digging into Psalm 32, I decided I'm going to go to go to E-Mobile and say, I stole this pen from you 4 months ago, and I'm here to bring it back or ask that you allow me to keep it, but I just need to get this confessed and out in the open and reconciled. And so yeah, that's what this is about. I just needed to show you a little bit of what's in my bag. We'll come back to this in a minute. But let's get back to the scripture, because that's really what we're here for, isn't it? Let's start with part one of Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away inside of me, and I was groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. Selah. Now we know the word Selah means to pause and reflect. So David is asking us to stop here. Don't read the rest. But you stop and think about these verses and think about what they mean to you. It's also him saying, I want you to understand that I'm stopping to think about these verses, because this is a personal experience for David, the writer of this psalm. See, David has an experience with being somebody that's lived with unconfessed sin and what it meant and how cursed it was to not have that out before the Lord and how blessed it was to then have it out before the Lord. We know that when he was under the house of Saul, that while he was there, there was deceit in that house and it was a reign of terror. And then he remembers while being king that he had an affair with Bathsheba. She became pregnant. And then he was a part of a conspiracy to arrange the death of her husband. It's a terrible thing. I mean, any of you, whatever you've done, I would hope at least, but I don't think anybody in here has ever done anything quite like this. So when he says pause and reflect, he's saying, boy, I remember what it was like to try to go to sleep at night with this inside of me. It was my bones rotting away. It's unconfessed sin before the Lord. But he urges us to do the same. See, initially sin, when we commit it, it stings us. But then it dulls. It kind of settles in. But after being left unaddressed for a time, it then starts to fester. And if it goes on long enough, unconfessed, the pain and the negative effects actually becomes absorbed into our personality. And now our personhood changes. What I mean is there's all sorts of things in your past that when we don't deal with it appropriately the way God wants us to, it can have such a profound effect on the inside, right? He says the bones rotting away day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. That actually changes our personality. We become mean and hurtful people to our children, to our spouse, our interactions. Also, we don't know this is just who we are. No. There's something in there and it's rotting us away from the inside. But we don't want to admit it because we sure as heck don't want to bring that out. Let's go into part two, which is verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sins, Selah. So he says, pause and reflect just on this one. He gives us one verse. And today, this is our key verse. Just this one verse. He hinges the message on this psalm, on this verse. And David urges us to remember that he's writing from experience. That time that he took that big boulder of an unconfessed sin that was deep inside of him, and he brought it out before the Lord, and what happened? God forgave me. God forgave me. He gives no more detail. God didn't rake me over the coals. God didn't shout at me. He forgave me when I brought it to him. And that's the message that he wants to give when he's telling. He wants to say, that's what happened with me. But he also is telling you to pause and reflect. Do you know that that's what would happen for you too? If you would simply bring it to him. We all know John 3:16. Let me read it for you. It's on the screen as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Right? We live in the period of grace. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But look at 17, which we don't quote often enough. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That's the thing that our enemy wants to convince you of. But it's not true. But in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. It's those who do not believe They condemned themselves already by hiding, holding it in. They condemned themselves to death and rotting away. But those who come to Christ, they find freedom. Let's read that part three. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they will not be able to reach him. In other words, you can let it on go on too long, but let's go through the rest of this part. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah, pause and reflect again. You know, God is available right now. Right now, he's available to confess and to come before. But as time goes on, there may be a wasting away so intense that the damage that's done is so severe, you don't get the benefits of receiving grace right now. What I mean to say is that on the day that David had committed the affair with Bathsheba, on that day, he could have brought his sin before God and saved himself from so much more pain than he went through. The conspiracy to kill Uriah, but also the death of his own child. But he says, surely you'll be lost if you let it go on too long. You've got to just say, today is the day. Yeah. Now, bring it before God now. He's available now. Bring it before God now is what he's saying. Unexpectedly, when we come to God with our sins, he welcomes us with shouts of deliverance. And we see this in Luke 15 whenever Jesus is telling the story of the prodigal son. There's this idea that the church, and I'm not blaming the church, but it's been in the church, that when we come and we confess sin, that there's a prison sin that's waiting for us. That there's judgment and torment waiting for us. But in the story, Luke 15, of the prodigal son, when the son returns home, what does he get? He gets a dad who wraps his arms around him and throws a coat around his shoulder, puts rings on his fingers, has a huge party. And it says here in Psalm 32, the same thing, right? When I came to him, he welcomed me with shouts of deliverance. He doesn't welcome you with, it's about time. I knew it. You know I know all. No, he doesn't do any of that. He says, yes, you finally did the one thing that brings you freedom. You brought it to me, son. And I'm so glad that we get to live in this freedom now. It's a beautiful thing, but for some reason, our enemy, so sophisticated, keeps us from doing it and has us clenched up on the inside. Let's read the last part. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. This is David giving his instruction. Be not like the horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. And shouts for joy, all you who are upright in heart. So David's instruction is this. Listen, don't be like a mule or a horse that requires a bridle. Listen, that's not everybody that thinks if I really submit myself to the Lord, all that's going to be is like a horse or a mule with a bridle in his mouth being pulled around, right? That's another sophisticated tool of the enemy to think that living in Christ means that there's restraints on my life. When the truth is there is no freedom except the freedom experience when you really do just say, God, I'm here. I want to live in your house. I want to be your son. And all of a sudden, he doesn't want people who have a bridle in their mouth that have to be pulled this way and that. He wants to bring you liberation and freedom. And that's what happens. But the enemy tries to convince us otherwise. And then listen to this. Those of us who have known the wasting away of unconfessed sin, I'm saying, I'm not talking about the immobile pen that I have in my bag, okay? I'm talking about I've had things in my life that I've said, I'm going to deal with this myself. And once I get it dealt with, then I can stand before God free. That's a lie from the enemy. I can't deal with those things on my own. Year after year, decade, over decade. I haven't lived that long, so you got to know it was a long time. I was holding on to some things, right? Thinking, I'll take care of this, God. I'll be the righteous person you need me to be. And God's saying, no. No one's righteous. You come to me and I'll make you free, though. I'll cover you with righteousness. And we'll have shouts of deliverance and praise and joy. But those of us who have known the wasting away of unconfessed sin, then know the liberty after having brought it to the Lord and those he has brought around me to hear my confession, we can read this final verse and we really get it. When we read, glad in the Lord, rejoice. Oh, righteous, right? Righteous because you're good? No, righteous because you came to God and he let him give you the gift of righteousness through Christ. And a shout for joy, all you who can say, I am upright of heart. Why? Because I did good? I'm a good boy? No. Because I came to the Lord and he made me new. Right? He made me upright and hard. I don't have to hold on to that anymore. I don't have to try to hide that from my wife. And I don't have to hide that from my kids. And I don't have to hide that from my pastor. I don't have to hide that from God anymore, because blessed is the one whose iniquity is known before the Lord and he wipes it away. Yeah. Last thing I want to share is this idea of guilt versus shame. Right? One's a tool of God and one's a tool of the enemy. Guilt is a tool of God. I mean, it's just this. It's the fact that you've done something wrong. I just want you to know you've done something wrong. There's a right and wrong. You did the wrong. Got to me. I'll make it right. Shame, on the other hand, is the perception that you're a bad person. That's absolutely not what God wants you to feel or think or know. And it starts to change our identity. When we keep that unconfessed sin inside, we actually end up living a lifestyle where all we think is that we are shameful. We are bad. We are wrong. There's nothing we can do about it. We're different than everybody else. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants to morph and pervert your identity. When God wants to show you who he's made you to be and know that you can be that in him, he's got the ability to help you be who you are. I want you this morning, I brought this bag just to give us kind of a visual concept of a room. And it's the last thing that I just want to share with you is if everybody would close their eyes. I just want you to imagine a room that has two chairs with a table in the middle, and it's a comfortable room. It's a safe room. It's a room where maybe you'd meet a mentor or a counselor or a close friend, and you come into this room with a backpack full and heavy, and on the other side of that table, sitting in the chair, is Jesus himself. And he invites you to sit in the chair across from him. And then he invites you to open up your backpack and to remove everything that's in there. Let's talk about it all. So for the first time, you really do open up every single pocket. You pull out everything in that bag and you lay it on the table. There are things that are so deep down inside there that you really have to dig to find them. There's things that it hurts you to bring it out and to put it on the table. Oh, this is so shameful. Pornography. Adultery. Wicked thoughts, actions from the past. There's all sorts of stuff you're putting in there on the table. Addiction, hurtful attitudes and actions towards others, things that are just really wicked. And you don't want to show Jesus those things, but you set it on the table anyway. And the moment that the bag is empty, you stand back kind of in a shameful posture. And Jesus just reaches up to the table and he just wipes it all off. And then he leans forward on the table and says, "Now, let's talk. Don't you know that Jesus just wants to be your friend? He wants to be your brother. He wants to be your savior. He wants to be all the good that you've never had, all the good that you can have. The devil's got you locked up, bones wasting away, but this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to lead you to a place of freedom. To be able to finally open up and say, here it is. But also, and here's the scarier part, God has placed people in your life that are there strategically to be people you can confess to, because there's great freedom found there too. I have to admit that God is going to take you to that next step. He did for me. He did for many others. I'm part of a group here that does that on a monthly basis, and it's so beautiful. And I just want to invite you to stop listening to the enemy tell you you got to keep that locked up. And start listening to the loving, caring, Holy Spirit saying, let it go. Open it up. Drop it on the table. Let me pray for you right now. Jesus, you are in this room. You are so full of love. You are so full of goodness. You're so full of grace. And I ask the enemy to be gone from this room, gone out of the minds and hearts of the people sitting here, so that we can hear your voice clearly. It says, come to me, all who are weary, who are rotting away on the inside. Open it up, confess it, give it up, so that I can welcome you with shouts of deliverance, so that we can rejoice together. Not so that we can hang it over your head or rake you over the coals, but so that you can know freedom like you've never known before. And right now, Lord, as we spend the next few minutes in song, I pray that you just begin to put an ointment on those wounds and help everyone here to see who they really are in your eyes. Not a bad person, no. The son and the daughter of Christ, delivered, free, righteous.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how he's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you. And his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.